You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott Angle, Greg Sussman, Corey Parson, and Tony Zagata with you. Thursday night football tonight. We got the Ravens and the Browns in a game that Corey Parson has predicted all week long. The Browns will pick up their first victory of the season. Scott Angle's got the AccuScore statistic predictions up as well, so we're going to go over them, see how accurate they are. I know, Scott, you meant to, you tried to get it in before the break there, but we're having that Dontrell Inman conversation with Cole Beasley, and Inman and Steve Smith. 5 for 71 for Steve Smith, 2 for 38 for Cole Beasley. Where was Dontrell Inman?
2 for 39.
That thing is, that just got, put that thing away. Turn it off. Turn that score off.
Yeah, with all.
Turn it off.
With all due respect, the hard thing, though, with those some of those projections is that when they don't come with any analysis, like, we don't know even if they've taken into account with those predictions, yeah. If Travis Benjamin, yeah. So a lot of times, you know, unfortunately, that's a problem.
So, all right. So, according to that, got to play Steve Smith and then Cole Beasley, Dontrell. I mean, kind of what we expect, guys, is a bit of a toss-up. So,
yeah.
So I'm thinking, right, you guys all tell me to bench Steve Smith. They're wrong, according to AccuScore.
No, I told you I have Steve Smith ahead of
you. You're on my side of things. You're on my side of things. It's these two guys right here, Corey Parson and Scott Angle.
I still like Cole Beasley.
But I see Corey's going the other way now. I feel it coming over. He's coming to our side.
I am... This Steve, I'm just so concerned about Steve Smith not lasting a whole game or him not being truly healthy.
Yeah.
But I guess we got to go with what the injury report says.
And how much previous injuries have affected him, et cetera, you know.
We're gonna see. He's not even on the injury. He's not even on the injury report for tonight. I think he's fine. I think he's good to go. This team that loves to pass the ball, obviously. I like Steve Smith.
All three of these guys are really, really close.
Yeah.
So it's not ridiculous to pick any of these.
No,
guys.
I don't think so. I just
feel like Beasley's the safest play. And
I have an optimizer too, fellas. Let me pull out mine.
Is it in your head?
No, it's not in my head. I'm not going to say who it belongs to because they haven't paid me to say it.
All right.
So I'm absolutely not.
No free advertising.
No, sir. No,
AccuScore is actually a partner of ours.
So yeah, we like AccuScore a lot. Yeah. Lots of AccuScore talk. I got to bring them down anymore, huh?
No, but hey, you know what though? If it's not right, it's not right. Like Tony made a point about Dontrell Inman. If it's legit, it's legit.
Right.
I'm pulling up. Go ahead. Y'all talk. Y'all talk about
yourself.
Taking
you a while to fill it out.
Yeah, I don't understand why, because I really don't use
it. It's very slow. That's why, because it's not when our partners with us.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Yeah. We only pick quality partners.
Exactly. All right.
Go ahead.
Thursday football, Corey's predicted the Browns over the Ravens tonight. And
that's amazing.
It is amazing. They have no wins on the year, but he's picked the Browns over the Ravens tonight.
Yep.
I like it. Who do you think will win first? Will it be the Cleveland Browns or the New Orleans Pelicans?
I think maybe the Browns next week against Pittsburgh at home. But Corey might have been saying, you know, he might have got confused. He's picking the Ravens, and he meant the original Browns.
I'm gonna take the Pelicans here, Tony, just because they play more games, right?
If
the Ravens win tonight, the Pelicans have like four more shots before the Browns have another shot.
Yeah.
I agree with you guys. I just wanted to get in that Pittsburgh's gonna be the one that they beat next week.
Well, consider it gotten in.
Yeah.
Yeah, basketball. That when that team is that bad, the owner doesn't like. I don't think the owner's actually all there. I've read some things that Tom Benson he's sort of losing his mind, and the family's struggling with the ex. So that team's like left in peril, and it's going to be interesting how that one plays out. Of course, horrible tragedy there with Rue Holiday too.
Yeah, Holiday,
going on,
brutal.
Even though Frazier has played well.
Philly hasn't won either, right?
Philly's won a game, hasn't they? Or have not won a game yet?
Yeah,
Philly. Won.
No, they won a game.
Yeah, I thought
won a game.
I'm fact checking though, because I believe they've won a game.
They lost
in overtime last night.
I know. How many games have they had that are like so close, and you know they've just had?
Well, I know this is crazy. I feel like Brett Brown's actually like a good head coach with the crap he's got.
Yeah, he is.
But you know, that'll win anything.
My optimizer says,
here we go.
Steve Smith is your guy.
Obviously, thank you very much.
26 overall for this week.
Pretty good.
Then you come down. You got Cole Beasley at 43.
Okay.
and then you have Dontrelle Inman at 68.
No love for Dontrelle Inman.
Am I missing something? No Travis Benjamin. Tony said the team total was 27. They're going to throw the football. Yeah. I understand Melvin Gordon, and you got the tight ends involved and stuff like that. But do we, really? Dontrelle Inman this week at 68, a spot under Tyler Lockett?
Yeah, I don't get it. Philly's 0-7 on the season.
Oh, you're right, Scott. Nice job. Philly does not have a win yet this year.
Yeah, so I'm saying they've been in so many games, but they just haven't been able to convert. It's like you have a young team there, and I guess, you know, maybe when they get down to the end, they're like, okay, is this going to happen again? You know, maybe there's that mentality, and that's, you know, the challenge for the head coach.
These projections are terrible. I might have to give them, I might have to give them up. You know what I'm saying?
Aggie score. Aggie score.
A lot of times, what like what Tony says. You know, it's fun to look at the projections, and sometimes there's a lot of times they are accurate, but sometimes that's why we're here, because they don't take into all the other factors dynamically and spontaneously.
Okay. Tonight, you will, Scott, even pretty heavy on Dennis Pitta here this week as a tight end against Cleveland, who you have claimed the Browns always forget the other opposite tight end exists on the other team. They forget to guard him a lot. We've spoken quite a bit about Steve Smith, a little bit like Mike Wallace. Dennis Pitta tonight, good start for you?
Decent start. The Browns are worst among AFC teams at defending the tight end. I think they can throw the ball. AccuScore has Pitta projected for 5 catches for 50 yards.
You know who's a tight end that I don't like?
So that's 10 PPR points.
You know who's a tight end that I don't like? That's Gary Barnidge.
Gary Barnidge.
No.
I don't like Gary Barnidge because Gary Barnidge has not scored a touchdown this year, and I believe the Ravens have not allowed a touchdown to a tight end this year, Tony. Gary Barnidge, despite the name, I don't believe he can start him tonight.
But, you know, the tight end position isn't deep, so I don't know if I'd go with you can't start him, but I totally get that it's not a great matchup.
Yep.
I got him right now for he's down on my list. I got him for about 8 points.
Yeah, the
that's not terrible.
Yeah, the AccuScore projection for him is 2 catches for 40 yards, so it's about 2 off about what Tony has.
It's not terrible.
Their team total is 18.5. Like, I could see going somewhere else, definitely for a tight end, but I have a hard time looking at these tight end rankings.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at the tight end rankings, right? You got people on bye this week.
Mm-hmm.
You're going down to a guy like Cameron Brate against the Julius Thomas, Garrett Celek is in my rankings this week. Wow, Marquise Gray. I mean, there's just not enough guys that go there. Marquise Gray, Will Tye. I mean, if you get down to that range, it gets tough there. So I think he's going to definitely be rosterable.
Yep.
I just don't think we're going to fall in love with him.
Yeah, it was 3 for 40. So Tony said 8. AccuScore says 7.
All right, so there you go. Yeah. AccuScore maybe not so off with that one. Mike Wallace, you have in your top 12, said, Scott, this week.
Tonight.
What makes you love him tonight?
Like Tony and I both talked about, that, you know, this team has allowed 22 touchdown passes, most in the AFC, how bad they are, how easy they'll be deep. This is where I disagree with AccuScore. They say 3 catches for 40 yards. And no touchdowns. I think he gets in the end zone tonight.
What is the actual score thing of this game here? Because if they give Mike Wallace 3 for 40, they gave Steve Smith 5 for 71. Both guys have no touchdowns. Do they think Browns are going to win? Are they on the Corey Parsons side of things?
Baltimore 28, Cleveland 14.
Where are all these points coming from then?
Okay.
Who is scoring these points?
I'm going to scroll down. You have a good shot of 1 touchdown pass from Flacco to Steve Smith.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
He was 5 for 71. Now he's 5 for 71 with a touchdown.
Well,
this guy's great.
He has the best chance of scoring a touchdown.
Oh, man, I got to get this guy in my lineup.
Yeah.
I can't wait to have a good
chance of scoring a defensive touchdown, according to AccuScore.
And then what, 2 touchdowns for Terrence West to get to 28?
Let's see. After Smith, then Pitta has the best chance of scoring a touchdown, and then Terrence West.
I hope that Scott's right, because I really need Mike Wallace to come through. But in my rankings, I've got him down at 24. But I have him slightly ahead of Steve Smith in tonight's matchup. And I have their team total at 27. So they're going to get points there. I think it actually is from the running game, like you mentioned, Terrence West. I have Terrence West at 15 fantasy points. You're going to get action from Kenneth Dixon tonight. I think you can get in PPR leagues, you'll get double-digit points from Kenneth Dixon. It's going to be interesting for fantasy owners how they view that split and if they use both backs in tonight's contest.
You know what I'm really excited about, guys? You know, so I have Steve Smith, and I'm starting him tonight. AccuScore says 5 for 71 in a touchdown. That's fantastic. I had Dennis Pitta in a league. I'm starting him tonight. AccuScore says that's fantastic. I am excited to just scream and yell at AccuScore tomorrow when things do not go.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
like we always say, you know, these projections, they're fun. You know, it's also they run the statistical model based on everything
right. That
several times based on past performance and matchups and future and all of that.
It's a great week for projections. I mean, they did really well on Tuesday night. I'm sure on Thursday.
I'm looking at my projection shorts, which will remain nameless until they cut a check, and they have CJ Procise in the PPR for 13 points.
Hmm. Well, Tony had him for 10, so that's close.
Yeah.
I think he's a play this week.
Oh, he's definitely a play when you look at PPR leagues and we look at the running back. I keep saying it. It's tough. If you play in a 12-team league, right, that's a minimum of 24 running backs that are rostered. And I'm going to say three or four more flexes, okay? So I'll find 28 running backs you feel comfortable with on your team. You just can't do it with bye weeks and injuries. I have him ranked ahead of Christian Michael, too. I have him ranked ahead of Christian Michael this week.
Yeah, I'm looking at Christian Michael at 9.5 for this week. And Kenneth Dixon at 9.4.
It's right around the same. Man.
Yeah, this one right here works good. I know the guy who does this. He's a pretty smart dude.
You like that guy?
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a nerd type. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well,
you know.
I think he has more of a social life than. Well, mm-hmm. I don't want to upset you, Greg.
What?
I was going to leave Jake Seaver out.
No, nerds kind of like dominate society nowadays. Like everybody, like you're on your phone all the time. It's like you could be a nerd.
He's
not
a nerd. Like, our president. Our president's not a nerd.
We are dominated by technology. Fashion style is to like wear these glasses. Even the NBA players are doing it. So you know this is a nerd society.
Not by our president. Our president slams nerds.
Well, our president is, like, you know, also, like, what, 70 years old? So he's living in a bygone era.
Well, let's show some respect to President Trump. Huh?
Yeah, but, you know, let's try to get with him. But, you know, it's like, you know, times have changed.
Can we go off topic for a second?
We always
the
do.
Dixie
so.
Chicks, why right?
Not? Yes.
The Dixie Chicks, mm-hmm. they, like, ruined their career by slamming the president of the United States.
Yes, they did.
They were doing a concert.
Yes.
Outside. Why do we show no respect for that office mm-hmm. now? It's like commonplace. Whether it's Barack Obama or Donald Trump, people just don't respect the president of the United States the way they should. What is wrong with people?
I think they have taken the freedom of speech to the extreme, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think you know what? You should be able to speak your mind.
It's too much. It's a lot of passion in the debate. So I think that causes people to overreact. Well, this is not an overreaction situation, but I think that causes people to overreact and, you know, show their hostilities a little bit more. And, you know, people are more emotional nowadays. You know what I'm saying? More bent up, more wound up. So I think that's why when was the last time he really was like really showing respect to the president of the United States? It's been a while since. Oh, yeah, that's the president. He's the guy. Mr. President this, Mr. President that. We didn't do that. I don't remember that with his pops. You know what I mean? So I'm like,
well, someone got mad at the Dixie Chicks for not respecting the president.
Yeah,
of the United States.
They did. What they do though? So I think it's like one thing we're making jokes about it here. Or you go to a concert and just like F the president. We don't believe in them. Blah, blah, blah. I don't think you do that.
Yeah.
I think it's Monday morning quarterback across the country. Everybody likes to second guess. You know, and they think, you know, they don't like what the president does. They think they can do a better job, etc.
Yeah. Let's go back to Thursday Night Football, guys. It's the other side of things. We talked about the Ravens quite a bit. Let's go to the Browns. I mentioned Gary Barnage before. Corey obviously says the Browns pick up their first win. What do we make of the wide receivers tonight? I'm going to start with you, Scotty. Corey Coleman, Terrell Pryor, are they both startable tonight?
This defense, the pass defense of the Ravens, mm-hmm. You know, they're known to give up some big plays here. I mean, you know, they they were ranked in the top five for a while, but you know, I believe they kind of dropped off. But actually, they're seventh right now. But they've given up 15 touchdown passes. I feel like Terrell Pryor's a must start right now. You know, especially when you look at the number of touchdown passes that Baltimore has surrendered. I think if Kessler's going to get the ball to anybody, it's going to be Pryor. And you know, then also. Coleman, look, it's a week where you might be missing key guys. They did target him. I think he's a wide receiver four this week, which means if you have to, you start him, but you may have a better choice.
I like him. I like both the Browns wide receivers.
I think
this
Pryor's
week.
A must start.
I think the Browns are going to win the football game, so they got to back it up. They got to score some points somewhere because not like their defense is all that stout. Going to need a big game from Kessler, but I think Corey Coleman and Mr. Terrell Pryor are both guys inside the top 30 this week at the wide receiver position in PPR leagues. So I have lineups with Corey Coleman in it. I got lineups with Terrell Pryor in it. I think we see a good offensive performance from these two young wide receivers, so I think both of them are startable.
The Ravens are not good against wide receivers. 188 yards to the Pittsburgh in that game where Roethlisberger was terrible.
He was
right?
Horrible.
At the end of the game, 188 yards wide receivers accumulated. The Jets, you can speculate on them, 161 yards. The Giants wide receivers, 302 yards. Remember, the guy went off, Odell Beckham. 134 yards to Washington receivers, 148 to Oakland wide receivers, 164 to the Cleveland Browns wide receivers in week two. So, I just don't know if the quarterback position is going to come through tonight. There's 18.5 points. But both guys are definitely playable. And because guys have got deep against Baltimore, I actually have Coleman ranked higher than Pryor tonight. And I'm a big Terrell Pryor guy.
Wow, that's interesting.
I
right
got Pryor
there, Tom.
Top 10 every week.
Every week.
That's interesting, Tone. I like that call. That's a gutsy call right there by Tony Cincotta. You can follow him on Twitter at the Tony Cincotta.
You can also follow Corey Parson on Twitter at the Fantasy Exec.
Yes, do not come for me though. Don't come to me cursing me out and stuff like that because I always I don't want no shit Twitter.
Isn't that what Twitter's for though?
But I'm just letting you know.
It comes with the territory.
I'm not in the mood for it. I'm not in the mood for no shit.
What if they ask you fantasy questions?
That's fine.
You can do that.
That's fine.
You don't want to get anything.
You just invited more shit.
I do fantasy questions as a premium service.
Premium service.
Yes.
At RotoExperts.com where you can ask questions to experts.
Yeah.
And you pay a stipend for that.
Yes.
But you get the stipend a little off right now because you're listening to us. You enter free radio.
Yeah, exactly.
When you buy the package, and we'll give it to you for under $10.
I'll do this. I'll do it here.
Okay.
But on the Twitter's piece, I need you to send me 50 cents.
50 cents a question.
50 cents a question.
All right. Do you have an address you want to see? PayPal?
PayPal, please.
PayPal to Fantasy Executive.
All right.
50 cents a pop, Tony.
That could be a good. You know, George Kurtz, the answer expert. You can listen to George Kurtz, old school fantasy.
Yeah.
He could make a lot of money if he's charging 50 cents a question.
Yeah.
You guys like know that. This guy's like no.
Don't say that. We're not letting him do that.
Don't give him any ideas.
Yeah. All right. That's
capitalism, baby.
Trying to be a company guy here, will you, Tustin?
We said Corey Coleman or Terrell Pryor. What about the running backs, Corey? Isaiah Crowell or Duke Johnson? Both, neither, one or the other. Where are you leaning?
I think both of them are startable plays this week. It's impossible to predict Duke Johnson because he's so inconsistent. He might get you that three catch game, not really gonna get no yardage. So I would put Isaiah Crowell ahead of him. The Ravens are tough up front on the line. They suffer on the back end, but I think a nice balance. I like Isaiah Crowell tonight. I think he's the guy you got to start with these players on bye.
What about you, Tony?
I like Crowell more than anybody here. I know that for a fact.
You do. You like the Browns more than anyone here.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Tony, where are you then with the Cleveland Browns running backs here?
I got Isaiah Crowell one spot ahead of Duke Johnson.
Okay,
I'm not in love with either of these guys. But to Corey's point, Isaiah Crowell is a guy you put in your lineup every week because you're never going to find 24 better running backs than Isaiah Crowell because he gets the touches. He gets the runs. He even catches balls out of the backfield. So he comes into play. Duke Johnson should get an opportunity to catch balls there. I am so crazy with Hugh Jackson and how poor of a job he's done with these running backs. This is a guy that was supposed to be the running back whisperer. Come in, he was going to take care of Duke Johnson. It's gone the other way with Duke Johnson.
Tony, in a PPR, are you starting Isaiah Crowell or James White this week?
Oh, Isaiah Crowell.
Okay. Scotty.
Just to note, Baltimore does have the best run defense in the AFC. 76.1 rushing yards allowed per game, only 4 rushing touchdowns.
All right, so I'm assuming you're reading that from Aki score? Is that what that was?
No, these are actual NFL projections.
What are the Aki score projections for Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson here tonight?
Isaiah Crowell, 12 carries for 63 yards. Duke Johnson, 7 carries for 35 yards and 3 catches for 35 yards.
Interesting. So what do you expect? What do you think? Given the stats you just gave us, the projections and the statistics, where are you on these Cleveland Browns running backs?
I think I slightly favor Crowell because I always feel like he's in line for more volume.
But do you agree with Tony that Isaiah Crowell is the guy you put in your lineup and forget about it?
I don't think I forget about it. I think of what my other options are. In a week like this, there are situations where you have to put him in and not forget about it. I don't think he's a slam dunk this week.
Let me ask you, Crowell or James White?
I would still lean Crowell. I have him ranked ahead of James White.
Okay.
I do like James White as a flex this week, though. I feel with the Seattle cover 3, you can attack it with a pass-catching running back.
Okay. Prediction time. Corey Parson, we know your predictions. The Cleveland Browns over the Baltimore Ravens. This is your last chance to take it away. Do you want to change your mind?
Cleveland Browns 27, Baltimore Ravens 26.
Okay. Scott Engel.
The original Cleveland Browns 27, the current Cleveland Browns 17.
Tony Zingato.
20 for the Baltimore Ravens and 13 for the Cleveland Browns, and America falls asleep in the third quarter.
I'll say 16 points for the Ravens, 9 points for the Browns, and people fall asleep at halftime.
Yeah. Make America sleepy again.
America's getting so great again. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, it's time to take a look at Scott Engel's Survivor Power Rankings. We do it next here on the Roto Experts. We're back on the Roto Experts in the morning. Sussman, Cicada, Engel, and Parson.
A little trappy right here.
This is a little trappy.
Yeah, a little trappy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a lot. It's generic, you know what I mean? It's not trappy enough, but I can start the morning. It make me feel like I'm knocking off a pack.
What was that? Wait. Say that again?
I'm trapping, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You were knocking off a trap, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, don't worry about it,
knocking
Greg.
Off a pack?
Yeah, don't worry about
a
it.
A pack of what?
And look this up in the Urban Dictionary?
I kind of wanted to be honest with you.
This is my trap house. This right here, Tent City, this is my trap house.
Right. So, knocking off a pack, is that what you said?
Yeah, don't worry about it, Greg. I don't want to get no trouble.
Do you know what that means, Florio?
No.
You're laughing at me hysterically.
I had no idea what it meant.
Engel, do you know what that means?
I've heard it before.
You know what it means?
I have an idea. What
you
it
have
means.
No idea.
Yes, I do.
What is it?
I'm definitely more hip than you.
What is it?
Sure.
What is it?
What? I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah.
So why are you lying to us?
What?
What do you mean, what? You hear me?
I got to look cooler than you.
Believe me, you will never look cooler than me.
Oh, please, you're the most uptight person I know.
Really? I'm the most uptight. Is that true?
Yeah, in person on that.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I don't really consider myself a very uptight person.
What do you think, Tone?
Is he the most uptight person? I think there's probably more uptight people.
It's just about the conversation in general.
Oh, the pack?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is, Tony?
Yeah.
Really?
I feel like... Do you know what a front grill is?
A fun grill?
A front grill.
Is it like that thing people put on their teeth? Like that?
No, I'm going to knock your front grill out. What am I talking about?
You knock my teeth out.
Yeah, okay.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I just wanted to see how...
Okay, you just was throwing it out.
Do people even still speak like that? Is that a thing?
I
don't think so.
It's been a little minute.
Yeah, so talking about hip, huh?
Oh,
yeah.
Huh?
What do you mean do people speak like that? Of course they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Who?
Corey just said it.
He said no!
No, the original saying that he said?
So I'm going to pack?
Yeah.
A pack
people,
of what?
People talk like that, yeah.
Well, he did speak like that. Yeah. The front grill part, no one spoke like
people
that.
People used to talk like that.
Exactly. But
that was
hip.
Old school. Hip
right, you're not hip anymore. That's the thing. Yeah.
Well, exactly. you're not hip.
He was hip
though.
At one time. When he was, what were you, Scotty Love? He was hit back in the college days. He was a college FM DJ, Sussman. Yeah.
That's
did
right.
You ever do that?
Really?
At the University of Maryland?
I did, actually, yes.
Really?
Yes,
Now, did you have a stage name? Did you have a stage name?
No. I did it to fill in because I worked for the sports radio station, which was connected to the regular one. So at one point they showed me how to do it.
They had a separate sports one?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's cool. It was very cool, actually.
Yeah.
That was your alias for real, Scotty Love?
Yeah.
I like that.
We had hair. It was good.
Yeah. What was your nickname? Kicker?
I knew he was going there.
He only has four jokes. He's got four jokes per person. Oh,
that's four more than you, though.
I don't need them because I'm not a cliche.
You're not funny.
You're a walking cliche.
Yeah, but you're not funny, though.
Greg,
every time we try to go up on a bit, you're like, okay, I don't understand that. Let's move on.
What? No, Corey said something. I said something. You tried to tell me you're
cool. It means I'm working. That's what it means.
That's great.
There you go.
You're a working man.
Yep.
I appreciate that. Hey, let's get into some Survivor stuff.
Oh.
And let's start tonight, actually. Oh, Baltimore and Cleveland. Now, Corey has chosen Cleveland to win this game.
Yes.
Scott Engel, do you think Baltimore is a Survivor play this week?
Definitely. There's no way Cleveland is winning tonight.
Tony.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you could...
Right? I mean, you get to this point of the year, you start targeting teams playing Cleveland is not a bad strategy.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I think Cleveland
would win
next week.
What do you mean this point of the year, Tony? I've been doing this for 8 weeks, targeting Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean. Well, then you can't use the Ravens this week, because in week two, you already used them.
Yeah, well, I'm out, just so you know.
I'm about to say, if you're going to use the Ravens, it's not really a better time to use them than this week right here. But as I'm looking at the
schedule. Well, no, look at the schedule. We're going one by one right now. What are you doing?
My bad. Go ahead, Sussmania. My bad.
Thank you very much.
This is your trap house.
Fall in line, fantasy exec.
I am.
Fall in line. Goddamn right.
Run your lane.
Yep.
All right. The Green Bay Packers are in Tennessee. We're only talking about Survivor. We'll go over the game, make our game picks tomorrow on the show. Survivor, Scotty, do you like this game?
I like Green Bay, but not as much as Baltimore. Right. So far, number two.
Corey.
Yeah, I think this could be a I think this is not going to be an easy one, but I do think the Green Bay Packers pull it out.
All right, you don't make your prediction. Just talk about Survivor now.
Okay.
Tone.
No, this game, no way. The Green Bay Packers just lost the Colts. Forget about this Titan. No,
I agree. I agree with you. By the way, I don't. What's the spread in this game here? What is the spread? Green Bay is a 2.5-point favorite. I'll take the Titans with the points at home. I'll take that. Minnesota in Washington, Corey.
Intriguing.
I agree.
Minnesota's falling apart. Washington, I think, needs this one to keep pace. I think the NFC East is going to try to make a push to take three teams to the playoffs. So DC needs to definitely come out and play a good game. You see, they made the change at running back. Intriguing matchup. I think with Minnesota falling apart, I lean Washington.
I lean Washington as well. I like Washington in this game. Scotty.
I like Washington. They're probably my number two right now out of the three that we mentioned.
Okay.
Tony.
There you go.
I love Washington this one, too. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, which worries me from a fantasy perspective, because I need a lot of these Redskins this week. But I like them to win the game.
Okay. The Chicago Bears are in Tampa Bay this week. Tony, let's start with you.
Chicago Bears in Tampa this week. I like the Chicago Bears slightly to take this game. The injuries at the running back situation, the weak secondary, I like the Bears to take this one.
This is a game I'm probably not touching compared to the first three.
All right. Kansas City is in Carolina. I had no idea Carolina is a 3-point favorite here. That's interesting. Okay. Let's start with you, Scott.
Kansas City, Carolina. This is a tough one. I'm probably going to avoid it. You know, Jeremy Maclin here. Carolina has a little bit of momentum. I'm avoiding this game.
Corey, you avoiding this game as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I like Carolina, to be honest with you.
You like Carolina?
I think it's a T. I think it's
as a survivor. As a survivor pick, you like Carolina. That's all we're talking about.
No, I couldn't do it in survival.
Okay. And Tony.
I wouldn't take any single game other than the Ravens that we've mentioned so far, but I like Carolina to win.
All righty. The Falcons and the Eagles here, Corey Parson.
Yeah, I would be in on Atlanta.
Be in on Atlanta as a survivor pick.
Yep.
In Philadelphia.
Yep, on the road.
On the road. Tone.
Not in on this one at all.
Scotty.
I don't like how Philly is playing.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't think they like how they're playing either, so they could really put up a fight here. I prefer Atlanta, but it's not a survivor pick for me.
All right, Tony, the Rams are in New York to face the Jets.
Yes, I like the Jets, but I'm no survivor at all.
Scotty.
Jets. Can you imagine losing your survivor pool in week 10 because you picked the Jets?
Well, that's how I felt. Can I be honest with you? That's how I wound up losing, by the way. I lost.
Really?
I lost in week 8, I lost. Because I said, imagine losing my survivor pick by losing to the Jets. And I did not pick the Jets against the Browns because Scott told me that the Browns would win the game as that was his survivor pick. So I didn't pick the Jets. And I went to picking Minnesota, who sucks. So, I lost to that. I lost on that one. Scott Engel, L.A. in New York.
L.A. goes to New Jersey. Not a game can go either way on a field goal. I'm staying away from it.
Are you right? Still upset about that?
It sounds that way. Yeah.
I'm just being accurate.
You still upset about that, Scott?
They're just being accurate.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you coming to me, Greg?
I am, yeah.
All right, thank you. Yeah, you can't roll the Jets. You make it to week 10 in Survivor and you're going to put out the damn Jets? Hell no. I'm not called Donald.
He can spell.
You always get a big hearty laugh out of Scott when you take a shot at Cardano.
Moving on.
All right.
See? Uptight.
It's just not funny.
To you.
To anybody listening. They don't know who that is.
You speak for everybody now.
Do you speak to any listener for any of the listeners?
I speak to a lot of listeners.
Huh.
I got told somebody this morning, actually yesterday said, I love it when you and Cardano go at each other.
A producer said that or a listener said that?
A producer said that.
Okay,
and a listener
so
said
it
both
okay.
yesterday.
The Broncos and the Saints. You know what? We're sort of jar with how many times you mentioned Cardano and Jake. Let's do that. Flory, you're in charge of the jar.
I haven't mentioned Jake at all today. Let the barbs be accurate.
Oh, today
you
have ball.
It. Today you have it. We're starting a jar.
An hour and 34 minutes, Scott. That tells you that you got a problem.
That's the longest I've ever gone, Tony, see?
we're starting a jar, and we're going to have a loser do something for it. All right, there we go. The Broncos and the Saints in New Orleans. This is going to be a good one here. Corey, I'll start with you.
Yeah, the Broncos and Saints. Broncos look like they might be reeling right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick the Saints against the Broncos, though.
Right.
I it's not time to make to call that prediction or that upset. So, like the Saints in this contest, but I'm not picking them in Survivor. No, sir.
And Scotty?
I'm like Corey. I like the Saints, but not picking them in Survivor.
Tone?
Again, no Survivor. I have a hard time believing the Saints are going to beat the Broncos. I would go with the Broncos in this one.
I agree with you. I'm with you there. Let's start with Tony here with Houston and Jacksonville.
Houston and Jacksonville. The Houston Texans, of course, coming to Jacksonville. I will take the Houston Texans, but I would not use either of these teams in a survivor pool. Of course, Brock Osweiler, the wild card, but I got to go back to the Houston Texans against Jacksonville.
Scotty.
Greatest matchup since Brady, Manning, Osweiler, Bortles, but I can't touch it in Survivor.
Antone. And yeah. Corey, sorry.
No, I can't touch it for Survivor, but intriguing.
Yes, sir.
I think this week's rankings for DeAndre Hopkins and Lamar Miller.
What?
I'm asking,
I don't know if that was a question.
Yeah, that's a question.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was looking at you, Scott.
Scott was looking down at you.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You want to know my ranks for both those guys?
Yeah, let me know what you got. You can do AccuScore, you can do the Kings rankings.
My ranks, which are available on rotoexperts.com right now. Lamar Miller is ninth at running back, and I have DeAndre Hopkins, 21st at wide receiver.
Ooh, whoa, mighty have fallen. 21st at wide receiver.
I don't have him. I don't have him that low. I have him actually putting up 19 fantasy points, and I have him 10th this week in wide receivers.
And what about Miller, Tone?
Lamar Miller against this Jacksonville Jaguars defense, which is the second highest paid defense in the National Football League behind the New York Giants. Do you think they should have kept their receipt? number 8 this week.
Okay.
The Dolphins are in San Diego, Scotty.
I don't want to touch this for Survivor purposes.
Okay.
Right now, Jay Ajayi gives the Dolphins a chance to win in any given week.
Corey.
Tough to trust the San Diego Chargers. Okay. We've seen that all season,
yeah.
So no Survivor on this one. This is just one of those old school AFC, 4 o'clock starts, wake up at halftime, you know what I mean? And watch the fireworks unfold at the end. going to be interesting contest, but I would not fool with it for survival purposes.
Tone?
I would not fool for survival purposes, too. But the Miami Dolphins, I'm not in love with. I think that Phillip Rivers could carve up the secondary. I like the San Diego Chargers.
Corey, your boys against the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a 2.5-point favorite against a 7-1 team.
That's because of the terrible towel, the home field advantage. I wouldn't fool with this one for Survivor. This is too close to call for Survivor.
I agree.
But I tell you what, though, interesting thing about this game is if Pittsburgh does win this football game, mm-hmm. do we see Tony Romo next week?
That's going to be dominating. You're going to be able to watch sports.
Depends on why they lose.
Hmm? Yeah, that's true.
If Dallas
if it's like a high-scoring game, that's looking good. Then, you know, it depends on the type of game.
Yeah,
I agree with Scotty. I can't pick this for Survivor. Are you picking this for Survivor?
I like it. I think
you like this for Survivor.
I think Dallas is a better team, and they win the game.
So now, hold on. Wait. So where does this rank on your power rankings this week?
Okay, so far I got
Baltimore number one.
Right.
You had Washington number two.
Right. I'm going to go Dallas second so far.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So wait, you like Dallas to win this ballgame?
Yes.
On the road.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think they're the better team no matter where you put them.
Okay. So Dallas is your number
two. They're more balanced. They're just a better ball club.
You put your money on the line, you're taking a road team in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Okay. Tony.
I wouldn't play this in a million years. I like Dallas, too.
I think I actually like Pittsburgh in this game, but I'm obviously not playing it. 13.5 points the Arizona Cardinals are favored by over the San Francisco 49ers. Scott, where do they fall in your rankings?
It's very hard between them and Baltimore, you know? But I'm going to say they're number two there because, you know, you never know when Carson Palmer might screw up something. I'm going to say Arizona's second, but like almost like a 1A.
So you like Arizona and Baltimore.
Yeah. I can't find a reason not to like either one of those teams.
Okay.
It's very, very hard.
13 for a home.
13.5.
13.5.
Yeah.
It's not like Arizona's that good.
No.
Yeah, and the 49ers are that bad, though.
Yeah, but
they haven't won since the opener.
This is a division game.
I don't even know if that matters the way the 49ers play.
I would take that 13.
They're letting up 200 yards of rushing per game, and they have the best running back of football.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Historically bad against the run, historically.
Tony!
It's Arizona. They're the number one team this week to use in survivor pools. The Baltimore Ravens are number two, and then everything else just jumps off a cliff.
The Patriots and the Seahawks, I don't think any of us are touching. Just move right along there. And then the Bengals.
No, I want to make a survivor pick here.
You got to be kidding.
Come on.
You said moving right along.
You're not making a survivor pick here.
I am. I'm allowed to. Were you making the rules that I can't make a survivor pick here?
We're trying.
Just because you don't want to?
Hold on.
Wait a minute. No, you hold on. You're saying we're moving right along.
Right.
I want to make a damn pick. What the hell, man?
This is off the hook.
Hold on. Please.
You're saying because you're moving right along.
Right.
You're like,
right.
I want to make a damn pick. New England's my third favorite team of the week.
Are they?
I don't think Seattle wins in New England.
So they're your third favorite pick.
Yes.
So if you had previously used Baltimore and Arizona in your pool, you would take the New England Patriots
number three,
number over the Seattle.
I don't think the Seahawks can beat them at home. I don't think they can do it. I think New England's the better team right now. This is the biggest game of the week.
Right.
New England wants to take it.
Right, and I agree with everything that you said.
Yeah.
But would I risk my money on it? No chance in hell.
Well, that's you. You know, just because you want to move on doesn't mean I feel a different way.
Right. Tony, would you put your survivor pick on this game?
You know what's crazy about this game?
What?
They're a 7.5-point favorite, so it's not crazy that someone would put that on there if they had already used Arizona and Baltimore, right?
Right.
It's probably the next biggest favorite on the board.
All right. So I apologize. I apologize to both of you guys.
That would make Seattle 5-3-1. Mm-hmm. On the season, mm-hmm. going into week 11.
Yeah.
Arizona would be 4-4.
I know Corey's watching that.
Arizona would be 4-4-1.
Yep, Arizona would be a game back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Corey's watching that. He's hoping Seattle gets knocked off.
I think Mike Cardano is, too, if you take it.
More than likely.
But you know what, though? They already beat the
that's
Jets.
That's one.
They already beat the Jets. Russell Wilson beat him on one leg, so he's done.
That's one for Tony. We're going to have to make a prize at the end of the game. There you go. We literally have a board now, so you know.
We're keeping track of everyone that hates Seattle or Scott.
This guy, Mike Florio, he's good.
He's doing a hell of a job.
He's good.
Hell of a job.
Twice as better than I ever was. Ever.
It's not even close.
To be honest with you,
It's not even close. Final game of the week, Giants and the Bengals, survivor purposes. Tom Coughlin, Ernie Corsi, Justin Tuck, and more going in the Giants Ring of Honor on Monday night. Corey, do you like this game for Survivor?
No, because I can't trust the New York Giants and that lack of a running game. So I would say no. I think this is a close contest, not on my Survivor list.
Scotty,
Not on my Survivor list. I like the Giants to win this game.
And Tone,
Not on my Survivor list either.
Me either. Okay, so as we wrap it up, the final three here. Corey Parson, your top three Survivor picks of the week.
All right. Just give me 1 second. My top three, the fantasy executive, top three Survivor picks of the week are the Arizona Cardinals at numero uno, the Washington football team at number two, and for number three, I will take the New England Patriots.
Wow, I was really wrong about that. Okay. Arizona, the Redskins, and the Patriots, your top three. Tony.
I got Arizona number one. The San Francisco 49ers, just defensively, it's just so terrible. Baltimore Ravens at number two. And at number three, I am going to go, and this is crazy for me, I'm going to go with the San Diego Chargers against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are one of those teams that just find a way to lose each and every week. Their record is way better than anyone anticipated, and I love what the Chargers are doing. Talk about teams that find a way to lose. This Chargers team could actually be right there at the top of the football chain, but they just found a way in the last couple minutes to lose these games. I like the San Diego Chargers.
And Scott Engel, the power rankings for Survivor week number 10.
Yes, and Arizona number one, Baltimore number two, and New England number three.
You got New England number three, making the reverse jinx up here.
No, I think I'm being objective here. I think New England wins the game.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little more headlines, we'll talk some more election stuff. We'll do it all here on the Red Rush in the morning. Back all the Roto experts in the morning. Greg Sussman, Engel, Parsons, and Cotta here with you. Gets a few more headlines here. As I wanted to bring up, gentlemen, the fact that Marcus Mariota and where he stands this week. We're going to talk about this on next week in Fantasy, which you can hear tomorrow night here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. But Mariota's battling an ankle injury, and there was a poll on this that we voted on. I know Mike Florio and the guys on Monday night at Fantasy First Look have talked about this as well. Marcus Mariota has been a top 10 quarterback this year, fantasy-wise. So is Tyrod Taylor. And Jameis Winston, and a lot of people love. So, Tony, if you had to decide between those three guys, Mariota, Winston, and Tyrod Taylor, not this week because obviously Tyrod Taylor doesn't play, but going forward, how do you rank those three?
I'd go Mariota, Taylor, and then Winston.
Okay.
And I think they're really close, though. And the one thing that makes me say maybe I make a mistake by putting Winston third is that he has the marquee wide receiver out of the group, right? I mean, you got Mike Evans there that can make up for a lot of ills. But Marcus Mariota, he makes so many plays on the ground, and he runs the ball very well. I would go those three, but I'm not in love with my rankings, to be honest with you.
I know, Corey, you were the Jameis Winston guy on this show. Mm-hmm. And I need to know, compared to Marcus Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, the rest of this season, I know Scotty hates that term, but looking forward.
ROS.
ROS. Looking forward.
Jameis Winston, currently no running game to speak of. The top weapon in Mike Evans. The best offensive system set up towards passing the football. Marcus Mariota would be second. The pure talent, the skill. And then Tyrod Taylor comes in a close third. But all guys I like.
Now, T-Mobile's been your guy for a couple of years now.
Yep.
And the one difference, I think, between Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota, compared to Jameis Winston, is the ability to run the ball, right? I mean, these two guys, they less so Mariota, more so Taylor. I mean, Taylor's picking up a chunky yardage every game, which is really been helping at the quarterback position. You're not seeing that out of Jameis Winston.
No, that's not his game.
Not at all. And that's something that I think, despite the presence of a Mike Evans, despite the fact they want to pass the ball more than the other two teams who lean on DeMarco Murray and LeSean McCoy, to me, Jameis Winston has been the least consistent, which is crazy because they do pass the ball a lot.
Yeah, well, Jameis Winston isn't a pro system.
Yeah.
That's not really like set up for him.
Okay,
he's running it's a fantasy friendly system that Cutter runs. So, excuse me, young quarterback dropping back, making the throws. He's the helter skelter type player. So I think that does lead to his inconsistencies. But if Jameis come out and throw two picks, he's going to finish the game with three touchdowns. Let's just feel that way about the player. There's no weapons in the passing game in Tennessee and in Buffalo. Now, I like what Mariota's running a tight ship. I like the rushing yards. And T-Mobile, he's become one of those players where he is dynamic enough to where he can be the weapon in Buffalo. But he was very impressive on Monday night against Seattle. Just ran roughshod over that world-beating defense. So I am very satisfied with all three players. I think all three of them are good. I know Winston's the one outside the top 10, but I'm taking him the rest of the way because of the lack of the running game right now.
Scotty.
I go Mariota first. Despite the lack of weaponry here, you look at the production. I think he's one of the two quarterbacks here that have the rushing acumen over a guy like Winston. And despite the lack of weaponry, You look at the numbers. Only once in the last five games has he scored less than 19 fantasy points. He is consistently looking like a number one, and there's always the rushing upside there too. Tyrod Taylor, this guy, he doesn't have the weapons, but you can't ignore the numbers. But the weapons sometimes you worry at times that the lack of weaponry is going to drag him down, but you look at the numbers and they're there. The problem with Winston is he doesn't run like the other quarterbacks do, and to me that's the separating factor that makes him third.
It's true. Like we said, he doesn't run nearly as much as the other two guys do. But as Corey pointed out, Scotty, Mike Evans is the best weapon that either of these guys have, right? And the system for Tampa Bay is fantasy friendly. It just is. The amount they pass the ball, the lack of running game, where in Tennessee they lean on DeMarco Murray. In Buffalo, they lean on LeSean McCoy. And these are systems that are just, hey, let's grind this one out. Jameis Winston throws it 45 times a game, Right. So I think there's a lot to like here about all three guys. I think it's very, very close for me.
I think it's Mariota clearly number one, and then you can make a debate for Taylor versus Winston number two.
Okay.
What's interesting is Winston, right, he has thrown the ball 15 more times than Marcus Mariota. So on a per-game basis, we're talking about like one attempt.
Mm. It's very interesting. I did not see that coming. Do you like Mariota this week, Tony, against Green Bay?
Oh, that secondary in Green Bay is one that I thought a lot of people should have taken advantage of.
Right.
And they haven't. So it seems like a great matchup on paper. I have him down right at number 12 this week, fantasy-wise, Mariota.
Number 12. Do you have – who do you like more, Marcus Mariota or Eli Manning this week?
You know, this gets back to the attempt situations, right?
Yep.
Where I think we have a better matchup with Mariota, but like I liked Manning last week because I thought he would throw the ball 40 times, and I think this is very similar. He threw it 36. I think again, very similar numbers this week. I go back to Eli Manning.
Okay. Let me go to you here now, Corey, because you're obviously the Cowboys fan on the program.
Yep.
We mentioned about Tony. You said before, if the Cowboys wind up losing this game, does Dak Prescott head back to the bench? Tony Romo has officially been medically cleared to play. It is now up to a coach's decision.
The word is he looks phenomenal in practice.
Of course he does.
I'm just telling you the truth.
Of course he does. What are they going to say? He looks horrible in practice?
That probably wouldn't have came out.
He's running the scout team.
Yeah, he's struggling.
Exactly. All right.
He's throwing the ball to Lucky Whitehead.
So Dak Prescott's already obviously been asked to starter this week.
Yes.
In Pittsburgh. Tough spot. Tough spot he's had. Tony Romo's healthy enough to play. Is Tony Romo active as Dak Prescott's backup on Sunday?
Yes. He's active as the backup quarterback on Sunday. He will not be in street clothes. He'll be in uniform on Sunday.
Okay. What happens going forward?
Dak Prescott has to drive the ship the way he's been driving it so far.
Okay.
If he what he's been doing that is critical is he is not turning the football over. If he starts to turn the football over, then you put America's quarterback back there.
America's quarterback. That's what we're doing with that.
America's quarterback.
All right.
I don't America. Think he's America's quarterback, but
do you agree
I
with
like
that? How would you do you agree with the plan here? The process, if you will?
Dak Prescott is not only not turning the ball over, he's making terrific decisions. He's throwing a lot of poise. I think the Cowboys are not only thinking about this year, but they're thinking about the future, too.
Right.
If you yank this kid at the first sign of his mistake,
right,
you're going to mess with his head. I think he's going to have they're going to have more patience with him than that. I think Dak Prescott finishes the year as the starting quarterback, and Tony Romo could be quarterbacking somewhere else next year.
Tony, we got a question on Twitter for you. Brandon LaFell or Marquise Lee?
That's a good
one. Oh, that's a tough one, right? Brandon LaFell or Marquise Lee. Lee's going to get an opportunity here with the assumption that Allen Hurns will be out here. Jesus, I got to go down to my rankings to find these guys. these guys. So I have in this one on Brandon LaFell, I've got him for 11 points in a PPR league.
Okay.
And Marquise Lee, I've got him at 10. So I have Brandon LaFell there. Yeah, I got Brandon LaFell just by a smidge in that one. And you look at it, they're going to score more points in Jacksonville. So if I was looking at it as a tie-breaking situation, I would actually go on the side of the Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver.
Okay.
I love Marquise Lee.
Okay.
But I'm going to take Brandon LaFell, mainly because of the reasons Tony said they should be able to score more points, and the secondary is one of the strengths of the Houston Texans defense.
It's close for me, but I feel like, you know, there's always going to be volume there with the Jacksonville passing game. If Hurns cannot play, I like Lee.
No, only when they're behind, you're going to have volume, right?
They'll be behind.
Brock Osweiler is going to light him up too? Come on.
I'm not
saying you're wrong.
No, I'm not saying believe me, I wouldn't say Brock Osweiler. If I said Brock Osweiler was going to light them up, I would expect you to call Cardano after the show and say, we got to get Angle off.
There you go. There's one for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
He might do that.
That wasn't derogatory.
He might do that anyway, Scott.
Right. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
I am a fantasy exact. Let's just be accurate. I have no thoughts of getting Scott Engel off.
All right.
Thank you.
Another question.
But I could see, like, you know, they're behind 17-0 on a defensive touchdown. You're running by Lamar Miller, another field goal. They could be behind 17-3. So there'll always be volume there. I like Marquise Lee.
All right, Scott Engel, is Jeremy Langford rosterable?
No.
It's Corey?
It's all Jordan Howard.
Nah, I don't think so.
Tone.
That's when the experts got right, actually.
Yeah, they did. They did get that one
the
right.
The experts hated Jeremy
particularly,
Langford.
Particularly Mike Clay. I mean, he was the
oh, yeah,
the flag bearer of
yeah.
that.
How's your excitement?
How's he doing? How's he doing?
I don't know. I'm sure he's doing well.
He's on TV a lot.
Yeah, he is. Hey, we're down in 2 hours. We got one more to go. And when we come back, Scott Engel's going to yell at me. I promise you. I'll prove it to you.
I don't want
next.
To.
You're going to.